Let's pray, folks, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for life and health and strength, for Ling and Colin, for Norma, for Monica and myself, for faithfulness of those that turn up, Lord, not just here but anywhere this night, for the preaching and teaching of your word, and we've got a Christian fellowship, Lord. I pray you, Father, that our tithes and offerings, our fellowship, our prayers and our praises, and the preaching and teaching of your word would be acceptable in your sight. Please be with, Lord, those that couldn't be here. I pray especially for Pat and Steve at this time, for Charlotte and for Frank, for Will. I pray, Lord, your good hand upon them. And for those, Lord, that have stepped away, I just pray, Lord, please, for these souls too. Lord, please put your good hand upon those that do our country. Please oppose those, Lord, that are setting wickedness and mischief. And even in these last of the last days, when people think they're getting away with murder, Lord, please stop them in their tracks. Please judge us continually, Lord. Please critique us and point us in the right direction. Give us a good sense to listen and to follow. We love you and praise you. And I pray you be one of our number this evening, Lord, that you would just minister to us, please. And we pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Right, our first hymn is 254. 254 is Whosoever Will. 254. I haven't sung this one for a week.
I heard an old song ring. Tonight's reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The first epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, carrying unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the prince of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of God, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen.
Good verses. Amen. Some good verses there, some of which I will be actually referring to in the sermon. But I like verse 9. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, and neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Amen. Excellent verses. Thank you for that. And thank you, Steve and Absentia, for throwing that one in there. Amen. Has anybody got any prayer requests? And we'll make a note of them and we can all pray with you for them throughout the week. If everybody's good, that's good for me. I would like just to remind you to pray for Norman and me, but I think you might have to pray more for Norman than for me. Norman has to deal with me and all the work. So please do remember us. I think I even heard Colin's name mentioned about lifting hammers and stuff like that at some stage, and Clive even said something about coming down at some stage. So please do pray for the work in the church. I think it's really just a case of turning up and doing the work. Most of the stuff is in the premises, isn't it? The heavy stuff. So please do pray for that. Please do pray for absent brothers and sisters. I know we all have prayer requests. I have names down here that have specific private prayer requests, but I know we all do. So I do pray for you, for your families, and for the folks that you know that aren't saved. So just something to bear in mind. Can't think of anything else. Is there anything else you need to add? We don't even have to pray for good weather, within reason, because we're working inside and not outside. But, yeah, we'll get there. Okie doke. Right, that's grand. We'll sing another song or two, and then we will open our Bibles. If you'd like to take your hymn books and turn to hymn number 65. Hymn number 65, if you're fit, we'll stand as we sing. Just over in the glory land. Sing. You got one there, Norman, or Elaine? First come, first served. We can sing, if you both have one, we can always sing the last
319.
One. 319. We can always sing the last one as the last hymn. What is 319 then?
Just a close of
all. Just a close of all. Excellent. We'll sing that.
We'll sit for just a closer walk. To you with love. Luke chapter 11. To you with love. Now there's no roses. There's no chocolates. There's no hugs and kisses. Plenty of handshakes and backslaps. But the subject, title for the message this evening is To You with Love. I want to speak for a little bit on the subject of all of the things, all of the gifts that God, well, not all of them, but the ones that stick out the most, the things that God has for us. That's why I was just thinking to myself, hey, that's just like a wee pat in the back whenever Norman came up and read those verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because I've actually have some of those incorporated into the message this evening. But we're in Luke chapter 11, and want to begin reading at verse number 5, and I've just got about 8 or 9 verses to read here. The word of God says, And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. The son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father. Will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And we're stopping there. In the book of Matthew it says, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Amen. Let's have a wee word of prayer and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this time. Lord, we know we live in dark days, much uncertainty, but I pray you, Father, please, for your good hand upon each one of us, upon your children, right the way across this country and this world, and deliver them their needs this day, Father. If it's a lifting up, well then, Lord, I pray you, please, that you would lift us up. If it's a knocking down, a humbling, Lord, I pray you for that too. For a comforting, for a chastening, for strengthening, for wisdom. Lord, just whatever it is. If it's just for a wee recharge, Lord, before going back out to meet the world before the weekend, I pray you for that too. Bless our time in and around your word, Lord. Please seal it to our hearts. Please, Lord, I pray for another day or for even tonight. Lord, I pray you. Please work on us this evening. Please walk up and down this hall. And please work on the hearts and minds of each one of us here. We just love you and thank you. And we pray this, Lord, of course, private prayer requests as well. And Lord, that you would pave a way for us to get the work done in the church. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. 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 The first little bit of Luke chapter 11 has a little bit of the model prayer in it, and whilst it's okay to read the model prayer, it has really nothing to do with the message this evening. All of the rest of the verses that we were looking at are to do with people giving things to other people. And all of these are to give us an idea, if you like, of the thoughts and intentions of those that give sacrificially. We don't give so that people will owe us. We give because we love people, or we want people to see the love of God in us. And if you were to look in 1 Corinthians 13, not too far away from where we were reading this evening, it's called the love chapter of the Bible because it mentions... I'll give you a brief idea. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, in other words, give so that others can benefit from it, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And that charity, mentioned in a handful of other verses, they're right up to verse number 8. That charity is literally the love of God, where you give so that you can help a brother or sister in Christ, or you give so that someone will see God in your life and maybe come to God. It's because you want souls saved. It's not the give so that someone will owe me. It's not give so that someone will be indebted or obliged to me. It's not to give to gain a position over somebody. It's to give to someone because they need it, and because that's what God would do. That's what we're talking about charity, agape, sacrificial love, giving without counting the cost. The first one we read here is about a guy that's in a bad position. He's got company and no food, but he knows a guy that does, and he goes to see him. Of course, it's an inopportune time, and the story that the Lord relates here, the parable, if you like, or the demonstration of the principle, is that normally, this fellow wouldn't get out of his bed, especially when everybody's in bed, but because he's in difficulty, he gets out of his bed and sorts this friend out. He sacrifices to help someone in need. As we go on, it actually says to us, ask, you've heard, if you don't ask, you don't get. You've heard of that before. If you're not looking for something, you'll never find it. Or knock and it shall be opened unto you. Every single one of those they use a lot. And don't be a bit afraid to ask for something. Sometimes you'll get it, sometimes you won't. Always pray about stuff that you're looking for. The strangest things have been found in the strangest places, especially when I have been praying for them. And whenever we have knocked on doors to speak to people, many times they have opened them and we have had a chance to share the gospel. And those are slightly off what it is that we are, the examples that are left here. But the Bible says, if you don't ask, you'll not get. The worst that can happen to you is you'll not get. The best that can happen to you is you'll get it. And this is what is being told us. Approaching God. Ask God. Ask him about stuff. Ask him for stuff. The model prayer does not say something about give us this day our daily bread. That just doesn't mean that the two bits of toast that you chuck into the furnace along with your boiled egg. That's your spiritual daily bread. Your wee verse of encouragement. A thought that comes to your mind. An answered prayer. A providential situation that turns up. It says, ask. And it's talking about asking God. Seek, it says. If you're looking for something, ask God. He knows where everything is. He put everything in its place. And he knows where any given, the smallest piece of dust flying through space is at any given time. I'm sure he can find your keys. I know Norman has explained to me a few times he's been looking for legal stuff online and has got up out of bed at odd times and magically typed in the right thing to look for and it has come up on his computer a number of times. I'm not saying magically, I'll say supernaturally or divinely. This is for real, and this is for you and I as Christians. And if we're ever bamboozled, the Lord said, knock. Knock on the door that seems to be shut before you. Ask God. Now the last wee bit is the one that I use quite a lot. And the Lord uses the very man that had been accusing him of being an agent of the devil, of being not working for God. He says, do you know how God treats his children? And they're saying no. And he said, well, think of it like this. How do you treat your children? You have children. You want them to grow up well fed. You want them to grow up so that they're ready to stand their own two feet and look after themselves whenever you're gone. So you train them and you feed them and you treat them and you explain to them the word no. And you teach them what's right and what's wrong, what's acceptable, what's unacceptable. And then you send them out into the world. And you hope and pray they're going to stick to those instructions. We've just been reading in Proverbs about binding God's word as frontlets before your eyes. Look, those things they put in the horses to keep them pointed in the right direction. But Jesus said, whenever you're looking after your children, whenever they're hungry, you know the way kids get hungry, they don't just get hungry at meal times, they get hungry all the time. Whenever they ask for a bit of fish, you're not going to give them a poisonous snake, are you? Or if they ask for a bit of bread for their fish, you're not going to give them a stone, are you? Or if they ask for an egg even, you're not going to give them a scorpion. Of course, they said, well, of course we wouldn't. They're our children. We love them. And Jesus said, well, my Father in heaven loves his children. And just like you give your kids good things, my Father wants to give his children good things. I want for you to know that a lot of times whenever I have a message, it wasn't inspired by the Bible. This is one of them. A lot of messages come maybe from a guy driving down the road, or what they might call free association. When you're walking down the road, thinking and praying and talking to the Lord and asking about this, that, and the other, and the Lord will say, well, here's this, and this, and I'm, by the time I'm getting up there, I'm thinking, Lord, just keep that fresh in my head and don't distract me with something shiny that my attention wanders, and all I remember by the time I get home was that God gave me an idea and I forgot it. I love my wife. And I was in Sainsbury's about 6 weeks ago? Round about Christmas time? Oh, 2 weeks, is that all? Well, there you go, last head coach. And I thought, Monica, she's lying at home, suffering with a head cold, not feeling the best, wrapped up in the couch with the fire going. I was walking through Sainsbury's and I thought, Monica could do with some turquoise weights. We 5 kilo weights, ladies' weights. And they look lovely. They're turquoise. And they've got a nice, soft, grippy finish on them. And I thought, that's just what Monica needs. She'll feel better getting some weights. Help her with exercises and one thing and another. And so I... Pardon? Yeah, here, you take it. So I'm going to embellish this a little bit. But I still have to work on my shoulders, so I will be visiting Dr. Shang after we get the work done at the church. But every morning, most mornings, I work on my shoulders to keep them mobile and to give me a bit of strength, because Norman, I am sure, is going to put them to the test over the next month. And Monica was doing a few exercises too. She says, I just love these weights. I love the colour. And I love the feel, and the fact that you got them for me makes me want to use them. And I thought, wow, that is just providential. And I thought, great. I thought, I must write that down really quickly. So after about an hour after I did my own, I started writing the notes down. The whole thing was, they were purchased, okay, the money comes out of the same bucket, but they were purchased by me because I was thinking of her, and because of the effort and the love and whatnot that went into getting them, and the fact that they were a nice colour and they felt nicer in hands than just the cold steel bars, she was going to use them. And because it was me, she was going to use them. And just like little kids, which I'm sure we all were once. We didn't get to here by not being little kids at one point. Whenever we got our presents at Christmas or birthday, or just when someone came visiting and said, here's something for you. Someone that knew you, that is. You knew you were going to get something good. And you'd be champing at the bit, and you'd be all excited, and you'd be jumping up and down. Remember little Faith? She used to bounce on the spot whenever she was excited about something. And then whenever you see this gift come in your direction, big eyes and the hands go out, and someone might say, well, would you like this? And you have to say, yes, I would, very, very much. Say, what about a hug and a kiss? No problem, hug and a kiss for your uncle or your auntie or whomever it was. Present. And you got the present, and the paper in the box never lasted long until you got to what it was you were looking for. And you would pick, if it was a toy plane, and you would fly it around, and You would make all the sound effects that, like that there, or a tank, or a car, or whatever it was, or a book. You would just be completely silent, big eyes reading your book, just whatever it was. The only presence that that never worked with was my uncle, who used to bring things like socks. I think he was the first person, other than my mum, to bring socks. And he never even brought the socks that I liked. He always brought them skinny wee socks that you could feel every bump in your shoe with. Not the big builder socks or walking socks that I like to wear. And I got to thinking about us. You're saved and you're here tonight. You belong to God. You are God's child. He has your birth certificate. It's written up in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. He knows about all of your football matches. He knows, and he's seen them all. All the times that you have been in danger and somehow you just miraculously got out of it. It was him there that was yanking you back, holding you up, or yanking you back out of danger, or nudging something else out of the way. How come it is that we don't thank the Lord profusely? The way a little child does when a parent or a loved one gives them something, that we don't grab a hold with both hands of the things, the great gifts that God gives us, that we take. We literally take so much for granted. Even the Bibles that we carry in to church today, just over 400 years ago, people were dying, literally dying for the King James Bible. If you were caught carrying the Bible in certain countries, you could be taken, killed. They did not want the Bible coming into the country in the native language of the country in case the ordinary man read it and found out. We take that so for granted. Why? And I'm not even just talking about the Bible. I'm talking about the many gifts that God has for us. Why don't we, as Christians, why don't we just grab a hold of it with both hands and do all that we can? Well, now, I'm not saying we have to take our Bibles and go, and somebody else has their Bible rolling across the ground, so with the ack, that's not what we use our Bibles for, although if you want, you can certainly do that on your own time. You can play tanks and ships and submarines. You can even go, you know, the wee submarine things. As your Bible sails through the water. You could do that. Or you could do the satellites through space. There's no sound in space, by the way. Why don't we take the things that God gives us, be thankful for them, and use them? I want to let you know, it's something that we've mentioned from time to time, that if you don't turn up, in my house, everybody had a specific seat at Christmas, or a specific cushion on the couch. I got one of the single-seater seats, and somebody else got the other single-seater seat, and then one of my other brothers, they got the left side of the couch, and the other one got the right side of the couch, and all of your wee pairs of pants and jumpers and books and maybe the odd wee gift or two, they were sat in those seats. And you knew which one was yours. But I can guarantee you one thing, if you laid up in your bed, you never got near your presents. You actually had to turn up in the sitting room at your chair with the presents with your name on them to get them. You had to physically open the gifts and open the box to get the gifts. You had to be there, and you had to put not a great amount of effort, more effort put into providing them for you. You had to be there, and you had to put in a little bit of oomph, a little bit of steam, a little bit of muscle power. Now, a lot of us, we miss out on stuff. We do. Many Christians want to claim the gifts of God. I pray thee, God, in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that thou shouldest protect me from all of the power of the devil and hold the Bible up. Thinking like it's an episode of the Hammer House of Horror, and Bruce Lee, but not Bruce Lee, Vincent Price is protecting himself from the other guy. Is it Vincent Price and
Christopher Lee.
I'm thinking of Bruce Lee was the only one who, I was about to say, he's the guy that played Count Dooku in Star Wars, because he was normally the vampire, and Vincent Price was normally somebody harder to him. And they would hold the Bible out, and Vince, what do you call him again? Christopher Lee would go, no, the power of the Bible is too much for me, and that would chase him away out the window, and he'd be away to torment somebody else. Thank you for that. I was expecting Norman to get that answer, because that's going back a year or two before. But thank you for that. That's the way a lot of Christians look at the gifts that God has for us. That is somehow some supernatural power in the pages of this book that is going to chase all the devil away and make everything work properly for you. And that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. Yes, it's good to have the Bible. The Bible's words have power, they do. In arguments, whenever people hear them, in people's hearts and minds. But many times we look at the gifts of God like the old man. We are looking for something that is going to profit us, that's going to fill our pockets with money, or give us some advantage in life. And it will give us an advantage in life, but a lot of times, we need to remember that, yes, the Lord will make sure of our basic needs. He's generally speaking, he's not going to magically make a 10-bedroom mansion appear with your name on it. But the Word of God says, 1 Corinthians 2, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love. In other words, this is not for lost people. These are gifts that are aimed to help the Christian get through this life. They are aimed to arm you, to strengthen you, to make you wise, to direct you off of the broad road that leads to destruction and up the straight and narrow road that leads to life. But many Christians refuse these gifts. And they keep doing what the world, the flesh, and the devil says. The world is popular opinion, the flesh is our feelings. And the devil, is that's the temptation that we undergo. And then they wonder why there's still no change. And that's, I always have a bit of difficulty with Christian yoga and Christian fortune telling. And all of that stuff there, Christians doing things that are expressly forbidden by the Bible. I think Philippians 4:13 tells us that you can do all things through Christ. That means all things through Christ which strengthens us. Let me give you a few examples. When folks are looking for peace in their hearts, the world will say, what you need to do is achieve your goals. Get what you want. I don't know what that might be. For a little child, it might be a new bike or a latest game or something like that. For an adult, it could be the dream job in the dream place. Could be a beautiful house in a lovely setting. It could be a holiday of a lifetime in Disney World. Who knows? But that's what the world says will make you happy. Will bring you peace. I got what I wanted and I'm happy for a while. Until I'm not. The Word of God says, if you want peace in this world, well, you and I need to sit down together. And we need to talk things out. You need to tell me about everything, and I mean everything, and I'll give you what's right for you out of it. I will show you what is the right thing for you to do to get over the humps and bumps in your life. So that you can say, I've talked with God about everything. Philippians 4 verses 6 through 7, 8, 9. I've talked to him about everything and he's spoken back to me. In verses of scripture that I know, in old messages and old hymns and songs. And Do you know what? I now know what I need to do, and I'm set on it, and I'm joyful because it's what God said. And best of all, I know that everything will work out for the best because the Bible says so. In fact, the Word of God says, the peace that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That's what God promises. How's it about whenever we look for purpose in our lives? Many times a people's purpose is it's just a gathering together of stuff. The Lord said in Luke, I think it's Luke 12:15, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. The Bible says, this is what Jesus said. This is what Jesus' job whenever he came here. In John 4, he says to the disciples, that's when he was talking to the woman at the well, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In Luke chapter 19, the Lord said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what Jesus' job was. And if you want the greatest purpose that you can intermingle with just about any job in the face of this world, to live pleasingly towards God, use everything at your disposal to live your life to the fullest and point people to Jesus Christ along the way. The people that you work with, the people that you fellowship with, the people that you see every day, even, my goodness, make a point of going out and making it the only point of going out to point people to the cross. That is the greatest purpose. A surgeon can save your life for 5 years, for 10 years. My goodness. So far, I can't remember the doctor's name. What was it? Who was the surgeon?
Goodmanny.
Goodmanny. I think it was the other guy. But anyway, Dr. Goodmanny saved my life for at least 2 years. I'm here 2 years longer than I would have been if I hadn't been saved. But I'm going to live forever in heaven because of a wee woman called Jeannie Hopper that brought me to the church where I got saved. So whether I got physically saved, going to live for another 10 or 15 years and then go into the end of the stages of eternity as a saved soul, or whether I went into eternity in the operating table and I'm still going into eternity because Jesus saved me, and this life is only temporary, and I'm going to be spending an awful lot of time with Jesus and possibly, all things being equal, much sooner than young Colin down there. 30 years sooner, all things being equal. God says, use what you have to point folks to Jesus. You will find that no matter what your age, it will always be a challenge to you and one of the greatest satisfactory things in the world. Now, I've got a couple here. What if you want to look for some friends? The world says, look for people that will be able to help you and lift you up, that maybe you'll be able to take advantage of. The Lord says, if you want friends, be a friend. He that wants friends must prove himself friendly. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But it also says to be careful of who you pick as a friend, because evil communications corrupt good manners, so be careful. If you want to live a good life and a peaceable life, if you want to live a clean life and live as long as possible, the world says no drinking, no smoking, no nights out in strangers' beds, off to the gym 3 or 4 times a week. That will definitely keep you right. The Bible says, if you want to live a life pleasing to God, apart from being in church and reading your Bible and praying a lot, it says memorize scriptures and they'll keep you from sin. You want peace and contentment? We looked for that already. What about power? What about the ability to change your life? A lot of people feel trapped and helpless, especially in this current age of fear that we just seem to be coming out of. People say, what you need is money. Because money is power. You can buy your way out of everything. Other people will say, politics is where the power is. Some people will say, being physically imposing is where the power is, and putting the fear of God into people. The Lord said, the power that you need is in the scriptures. Paul said, bear in mind, Paul was a murderer. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And those are a few things. God also said, see, whenever you're ever on the spot, and someone just out of the blue just asks you a question about the Bible, why is it that you got saved? And you think, there's a wee promise in the Bible. God says, I have a wee present for you. If you have listened to any messages, if you have read any of the Bible, I might be able to get you those verses and put them right back in your mouth. Jesus even said, look, whenever they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall say, for in that same hour it will be given you what you shall say. And it will not be you that speaks, it will be the Holy Spirit that speaks in you. Because Jesus said he would give us another comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. It's amazing. I have found it to be true, even right now. As you endeavour to please God, and God does want his children to be in church, and he does want his children to be familiar with this blessed old book, because it's the only thing that will keep you right in this world. And he does want you living a pleasing life, and he does want you to be able to overcome the difficulties that you will have in this world. Well, on that note, if you're in the men's toilets, it says, if you want to overcome difficulties in this world, do things God's way. What is God's way? Well, it's in the Bible. What page? Read it and find out. You will find that little bits of a drop into your mind and into your heart just when you need them and where you need them. Do things God's way. Spend time in prayer, ordering your thoughts, looking for God's direction in your life. You will find that things start to happen. You're more content. Your mind is at ease. I even find, and there have been days when I wasn't well, that wasn't well enough to read, and my mind was too scattered to be doing much in prayer. It made a difference to spend time in God's Word. Even should I force myself, even should I enforce a habit of reading and saying, God, I'm here, but my mind's going crazy. I need your help. It's like a little child running to their mom or dad having a nightmare. Mommy, mommy, I'm scared. Please help me. And mommy will gather up that her little child and hold them to her. And the child will smell of the mother, the feel of the mother, the size of the mother compared to them. There's just safety they have there. And it's the same with God. You don't have to be able to preach the most eloquent of prayers. You don't have to have an encyclopedic knowledge of the Bible. You just have to be saved. And you just have to be willing to say, God, you know what? I'm at the end of myself. Will you help me? And the Bible says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your Father, remember this. God also wants to give good things to his children. Not the things that the world thinks, the things that will help you. Help you to live a pleasing, Christ-centered, powerful life in this world. Every promise in the Word of God and every help that we need, it's all in the Word of God. The Lord wants for us to have, and we need to have. We need to start to reach out and grab a hold of it and open it, take it out of its covers and make it ours. Become familiar with it. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I don't know if anyone has ever heard of Big Track. It was a toy that came out about 40 years ago. It was a big plastic truck. There was a wee keyboard in the back of it, and you could program it to go forwards and backwards and left and right and fire a little gun. And you could program it to fire a dart gun as well. It was cool. But when we took that out of the box, it looked good. The first thing we did was put batteries in it and switch it on and start pressing buttons. And it didn't do too much, and then we had to read the instructions. And then that thing got played out. It was told to go here, there, and everywhere. It was told to chase the cat and fire the laser cannon at it. And all that stuff. But the point of the matter is, you had to take time to get familiar with it, to get the best use out of it. There are so many threads. There are so many promises. So many prophecies that are in that book that was finished over 2,000 years ago that are just as necessary for us to have today as they were for people to have back when Jesus was walking and talking on the earth. And they're all there. All you got to do is reach out and take them. One wee caveat or proviso. I didn't just wake up one morning after being saved and read my Bible from one cover to the next and suddenly I was an expert. It has taken years, but as I have gone along, God has helped me along. The Word of God has helped me in many, many, many situations. And I urge you to take that time. Don't expect to become an expert. Expect to make mistakes. Expect to be humbled. Expect to be sorrowful. But always go back to God and even just say, God, I made such a hash of that. Can you help me? God's not going to turn you away. He loves you to bits. And he wants the very best for you. So take him at his word. And take his word. And make it part of your life. You will find that God gives you so much more than you will ever give to God. One wee thought, and then I will be done. It amazes me. I'm not talking about anybody in particular. This is just one of those light bulb moments that occurs to me. I'm sure it's occurred to somebody else somewhere. It amazes me the number of people that turn up to warm a seat in the church that can't be bothered to open God's word and find out anything about him and yet still want to go to his heaven for the endless ages of eternity. If you follow me. Oh, we want to go to heaven, but we certainly don't want to open our Bibles. We certainly don't want to talk to God, but we want to go to heaven where God owns everything and rules everything. But I don't want to find out anything about it. And I don't want to do anything whenever I'm down here. God's not going to make your life a misery if you start doing stuff for him. He will make it interesting, exciting, clean, holy, and powerful. Sort of life that gives you rest unto your soul. Anyway, that's another message. Stopping there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. And I hope and pray those were, the message was a bit closer to the notes tonight, Lynn, was it?
I can find most.
Sometimes there's just so many thoughts occur to me. Norman, did you have a hymn in mind? Or, I'm not putting you on the spot, it's just that earlier on you looked at the flicking through one of the books.
129.
Pardon?
129.
129. What's that one?
The old one. I used to sing it many, many years ago.
Rock of Ages. Let's stand and sing it. Hymn number 129, Rock of Ages.
Let the water and the wine
Heavenly Father, thank you for this little bit of time around your word. Please dismiss us, see us safely home, back at the next appointed time. Keep us safe and help us to remember all the things to do with you, Lord. We love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, for looking after us and bringing us to this point in our lives. We know, Lord, that whilst the future may not be smooth, it might be bumpy and there might be many ditches and holes and pits and one thing and another, but we know, Lord, that you will give us the caterpillar tracks we need to get over the land. Thank you and amen. We love you and praise you, Lord. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.